to hand over the call to Sevanand Chaitanya Prabhu. Prabhuji, you're there on the call. You can please take over the call to give a small introduction about His Grace Govardhan Giri Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, everybody. Please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj and all assembled Vaishnavas. Today, we are very fortunate to have the association of His Grace Govardhan Giri Das, who will be enlightening us on Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhuji joined ISKCON in 1994 in Krishna Katha Desh in the Middle East and is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapata Goswami Maharaj. He speaks in English, Hindi, Malayalam and Tamil and has served devotees in Krishna Katha Desh through classes and training. He was chiefly instrumental in developing the Malayalam preaching in Krishna Katha Desh, where he served from 1994 till 2008. Today, the Malayalam speaking congregation there is very huge. Many of these devotees have come back to Kerala and started new preaching endeavors. He has also been a servant of BBT and has served in the team that published the Srimad Bhagavatam in Malayalam and has assisted in translation of Nectar of Devotion and currently serving the team that is working on the translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Malayalam. His principal service also includes serving as the chief editor of Bhagavad Darshanam, the Malayalam BTG, since its inception in 2010. Prabhuji is also serving as a member of the Kerala Management Council, which assists in the GBC regional secretaries. During the lockdown, Prabhuji conducted an online Bhagavad Gita course for beginners, which was attended by over 1,000 newcomers. He continues to conduct follow-up classes for these people online. Prabhuji is currently stationed in Trivandrum and actively engages in various local preaching programs as well as programs throughout the state of Kerala. Thank you once again, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association in enlightening all of us today. And please take over the class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Dandavat pranams to all devotees who are assembled here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Gurudev. So today we shall be speaking from the 29th chapter of the 4th canto. That is talks between Narada and Prachina Barhi. And we shall be covering texts 41, 42, 43 and 44. So this is what I have been tasked with. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tado Jayamudhireth Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 29 Verse 41 Etair Upadrito Nityam Jiva Loka Swabhava Jaihi Nakaroti Harer Nunam Kathamrutanitho Ratim. Translation: because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities, such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjana bhajana, cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place, is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness, is as indicated in this verse. Shloka 42 to 44. Prajapatih padisakshat Bhagavan Girisho Manuhu Dakshadaya Prajadhyaksha Naishtika Shanakatayaha Marichiratri Angirasau Pulastyaf Pulahakratuhu Bhrigur Vasishta Ityete Madanta Brahmavadinaha Adhyapivachas Patayas Tapo Vidya Samadhibihi Pashyanto Pina Pashyanti Pashyantam Parameshwaram. Translation. The most powerful Lord Brahma, the father of all progenitors, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, and the other rulers of mankind, the four saintly first-class brahmacharis headed by Sanaka and Sanatana, the great sages Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, and Vasishta, and my humble self, Narada, are all stalwart brahmanas who can speak authoritatively on Vedic literature. We are very powerful because of austerities, meditation, and education. Nonetheless, even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we always see, we do not know perfectly about Him. Purport. According to the foolish Darwinian theory of anthropologists, it is said that 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens had not appeared on this planet because the process of evolution had not reached that point. However, the Vedic histories, the Purana and Mahabharata, relate human histories that extend millions and millions of years into the past. In the beginning of creation, there was a very intelligent personality, Lord Brahma, and from him emanated all the Manus and the Brahmacharis like Sanaka and Sanatana, as well as Lord Shiva, the great sages, and Narada. All these personalities underwent great austerities and penances and thus became authorities in Vedic knowledge. Perfect knowledge for human beings as well as all living entities is contained in the Vedas. All the above mentioned personalities, great personalities, are not only powerful, being cognizant of past, present, and future, but are also devotees. Still, in spite of their great education and knowledge, and despite their meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, they cannot actually understand the perfection of the living entity's relationship with Lord Vishnu. This means that these personalities are still limited as far as their knowledge of the unlimited is concerned. The conclusion is that simply by advancing one's knowledge, one cannot be accepted as an expert in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood not by advanced knowledge, but by pure devotional service, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 55. Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvataha. Unless one takes to pure transcendental devotional service, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth. Everyone has some imperfect ideas about the Lord. So-called scientists and philosophical speculators are unable to understand the Supreme Lord by virtue of their knowledge. Knowledge is not perfect unless one comes to the platform of devotional service. This is confirmed by the Vedic version. Athapite deva pada ambujadvaya prasada lesha anugrahita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinvan. The speculators, the jnanis, go on speculating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. But unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand His supreme glories. All the great sages mentioned in this verse have their planets near Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma resides, along with the four great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara. These sages reside in different stars known as the southern stars, which circle the pole star. The pole star called Dhruvaloka is the pivot of this universe, and all planets move around this pole star. All the stars are planets as far as we can see within this one universe. According to Western theory, all the stars are different suns, but according to Vedic information, there is only one sun within this universe. All the so-called stars are but different planets. Besides this universe, there are many millions of other universes, and each of them contains similar innumerable stars and planets. Om Tat Sat. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gina Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. These verses are part of a conversation that Narada Muni is having with this great king called Prachina Barhi. The context of this conversation is very, very interesting and also very, very relevant for all of us. When we look at Prachina Barhi, he is a great king who has ruled for thousands of years. And even as Narad Muni came to show his mercy to Prachina Barhi by way of giving him instructions, even at that time, in spite of having enjoyed material sense gratification for eons, this king was still engaged in similar fruitive activities as enjoined in the Vedas, of course. And to put it more into context, his sons, the Prachetas, whom he had told that you have to take over and run the world. So in order to become perfect, they had actually gone on a 10,000 year tapas under the water. So on one hand, he is a progenitor of great tapasvis. On the other hand, he himself is still very much stuck to material sense gratification, even though he was supposedly following the Vedic way of doing things. And therefore, eventually, Narad Muni comes to Prachina Barhi in order to show him mercy. As we know, whomever Narad Muni comes across and shows his mercy, we know that those people are all saved, because Narada Muni is a great savior of fallen souls. And everyone who has taken instruction from Narada Muni, we will see they are all great personalities. So that is the context of this conversation. And Narada Muni, even after he gives that wonderful story about Puranjana, Puranjani, Puranjana being reborn as a woman, everything, still Prachina Barhi is not able to fully comprehend what exactly is going on here. And then in this particular chapter, Narada Muni is actually making Prachina Barhi understand what exactly he meant through all the allegories of the story of Puranjana. And in that context, continuing his dialogue, Narada Muni is saying in today's verse that because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of God. Again, we can put this into context of our personal lives. Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. As we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam in a submissive manner and serve the Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, like this Bhagavata Shravanam that all you wonderful great Vaishnavas are having now, each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam reveals some portion or some reflection it will give us on the absolute truth, on our position, on the position of the living entities, etc., etc., etc. So here when Narada Muni says that the conditioned soul is not having time to cultivate attachment to hear about the Supreme Personality of God, that is why it is said that Bhagavatas are very, very rare. devotees are very, very rare. Because the general population mostly do not find time. And why is it? Here Narada Muni says that because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities, you know, bodily necessities. Upadruta nityam jiva lokaha, meaning always disturbed. The conditioned soul in the material world is always disturbed. And he is disturbed by so many different things. The main cause of disturbance being our senses and our mind. The materially conditioned senses and the mind ensures that the conditioned soul is always disturbed. And when we are disturbed by the senses, by the hankering of the senses, and the mind puts it up as the most important thing in our life, naturally, our entire intelligence is spent on addressing that trivial issue which will be put up by the mind as the most important thing in the whole of the universe. You know? Manda bhagya upadruta. Because we are highly unfortunate in Kali Yuga and we are very, very disturbed all the time. So, Narada Muni says, they don't have Noonam Katha Amrita Nidau Ratim. Rati, attachment to hear the glories of Krishna. That is not there. Swabhava Jai. Naturally, it doesn't come for the conditioned living entity. None of us conditioned living entities are naturally inclined. Although in our constitutional position, all of us are naturally inclined. Because we are conditioned by material nature, none of us, in this conditioned situation, it doesn't happen swabhava jai. That is where the association of devotees becomes very, very important. And the first sentence of the purport, Prabhupada picks up that most important point for the practicing devotee. You know, where Narada Muni says the conditioned living entity disturbed by the senses has no time to cultivate attachment to hearing Krishna's glories. And Prabhupada says in the purport that unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. And if we read this in conjunction with the seven purposes of ISKCON, when Prabhupada listed them out while he incorporated the society, we will find that one of the purposes is that the society must bring people together so that they can engage together in studying, reading, interacting, doing Sankirtan, everything together. Because unless that satsanga is there, it is very, very difficult. For every practicing Vaishnava, until he becomes perfect in his practice, and even after he becomes perfect in his practice, he would always look out for devotee association. What to speak of pure devotees of the Lord. And for that purpose, Srila Prabhupada has created for us this wonderful society called ISKCON, where people can get together and not get deviated by some kind of nirjana bhajana, you know, where we may think that, okay, now I know the Bhagavatam, I have been exposed to the Bhagavatam, I have had some introduction to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I have bought all the books of Srila Prabhupada, you know, so now I can read, I can chant, and I can, you know, I can associate directly with the Srimad Bhagavatam and with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chant my Hare Krishna Mahamantra and be in transcendental bliss. If we think like that, we are wrong. Why? Because Prabhupada says that if ever we think of doing all these things all by ourselves, we will simply be disturbed by the four propensities: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You know? Because as I said, the indriyas are always very, very active. They are like serpents and they are always looking for some gratification, and they will always come back to the mind with, you know, hundreds of requirements. And the mind being the desire producing factory that it is, 24/7, 365 days a year, it feeds on these requirements of the senses. The materially conditioned mind actually feeds, you know, it gets fueled by these requirements that are put up by the senses. And together it becomes a very deadly combination. And then what will happen is that if there is no association, if there is no satsanga, then automatically all those requirements for the Atma, for me, the soul, all those requirements will get the last priority, and all my sensory requirements will get first priority. You know, it's like the first day I may be, you know, very, very transcendently chanting my Hare Krishna Mahamantra and then reading, and, you know, straight away be lifted to Vaikuntha and everything, that the mind will simply cheat us, you know, saying that now we are in Vaikuntha, like that. The second day it will become lesser, the third day it is becoming lesser, fourth day lesser, within a month or within a few days, or it will all be finished, you know. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in this purport is giving a warning to all the followers, all those who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that we must understand that we are all affected by our previous sinful activities. And because of that, it takes time to purify ourselves. You know, it is not only the vasanas of this life. It is not only the vasanas of this life. Vasanas of all the previous births that we have got, all the impressions that are there. Narada Muni tells Prachina Barhi this, you know. In the same conversation, Narada Muni tells to Prachina Barhi that you are not just carrying impressions of this life, you know, whatever experience that you have had, and those experiences keep popping up and, you know, takes away all your all the space within your consciousness. It is not only that. It is the impressions that you have gathered through the many, many unlimited number of births that we have got. And these are all vying for our attention and our time, which is very limited. You see? So actually, without devotee association, we are up against a very, very strong opposition. You know? They will completely outnumber and they will completely take away all our attention, all our time. That is why Narada Muni says that we will hardly have, the conditioned living entity will hardly have any time to cultivate, you know. So that is also very important for us to understand, where Narada Muni says, you know, very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first you have to cultivate that attachment, which means it is not there. It is not as if I give all my time today to the Srimad Bhagavatam, from tomorrow I become Mahabhagavata. It doesn't happen like that. You know? Every day I have to find time and give time for Bhagavata Sravana. Without which it is very difficult, because there is no taste. We have to cultivate the taste. In order for that, Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that we must have devotee association so that we are not misled by the mind. because the mind will lead us away from devotional activities, and the mind will even say and convince us that, you know, whatever nonsense we are doing will also be recognized as devotional service. The mind is so amazing that it can convince us about any nonsense that we do, and, you know, we'll be totally convinced that this is all okay, you know. And Prabhupada is calling, you know, this is when we speak about the Prakrita Sahajiyas, you know. When we speak about, when Prabhupada speaks about the Prakrita Sahajiyas, we would all immediately think of, you know, some funny looking characters that we will see on our way when we travel to Navadvip. You know, that is what immediately comes to our mind because we read all these things by Prabhupada. But practically, there is a Prakrita Sahajiya living inside each one of us, you know, waiting to come out. So, when Prabhupada speaks about Sahajiyas, we must understand. You know, this is another very interesting thing about reading Prabhupada's books. You know, Prabhupada will use very strong words, you know, when he speaks about Mayavadis. He will use very strong words when he speaks about Sahajiyas. You know, he will use very strong words about, you know, charlatans, you know, who make, you know, a show of Bhagavatam, show bottle devotee. All these very strong terms used by Srila Prabhupada, you know. So we must always bear in mind that we, the Prabhupada Anugas, are reading Prabhupada's books, you know. So we must know whom Prabhupada is addressing. And we must accept that with humility, you know. We must accept each of these instructions that Prabhupada is giving with humility. So, because we are all conditioned, because we actually don't have any taste, we have to find time to develop that taste, and that can be done only in the association of devotees. And then Narada Muni continues to speak, putting things further into context so that Prachina Barhi will understand. In the next three verses, he speaks about those people who are experts in this subject matter. You know, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, the Chatushanas, Marichi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, and Narada himself. You know, he's saying that these are all Adhyapi Vachaspatayaha. These are all Vachaspatis. You know, Vachaspatis means those people who are masters in speaking. They are all these personalities whom Narada Muni is talking about, they are all very expert speakers. And among all these people, Narada Muni is one of the greatest experts in speaking. Because by his speech, by the way he speaks, he can convert anybody into a devotee. That is why when Valmiki starts the Ramayana, you know, the very first opening chapter in Balakanda, he will call Narada Muni, you know, he will give him the adjective as Tapasvi Vagvidam Varam. That he says, Narada is a Tapasvi. And his Vagvidam Varam, that means his greatest varam or his greatest boon is, you know, his Vagvidam, the way he can present. You know, the way Narada Muni can present transcendental subject matter, nobody can beat him. And Narada Muni says that we are all stalwart Brahmanas, Brahmavadinaha, means they are Brahmanas. They also speak on the Vedic literature. And they are all masters. And he says, how have they all mastered it? Because of their austerity, tapa, vidya, samadhinaha. So he says, these personalities actually did not become masters overnight. Tapaha, they have been austere. Vidya, they have cultivated knowledge. Samadhinaha, they have been meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? So it is by taking these austerities, by spending time on cultivating knowledge and meditating on Krishna, that all these great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, Vasishtha, Bhrigu, all these great personalities, they have all cultivated this knowledge. They have been austere in cultivating this knowledge. And they have also been meditating on Krishna, on the Supreme Absolute Truth. You know, whichever the way each one of these sages have been looking at or perceiving the Supreme Absolute Truth, like the Chatushanas, you know. And these are all personalities that we, you know, when we read through the Puranas and the Itihasas, we also understand that these personalities are not that they have just absorbed all these things, they have studied it and they have meditated upon it and now they are just sitting comfortably. When we read the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavat Mahatmya and Padma Purana, it speaks about Lord Shiva constantly sitting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, elsewhere it speaks about the four Kumaras constantly listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam from Ananta, you know, under Patala. So it is not only that understanding of this transcendental subject matter about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a constant ongoing process that has actually no end. Why? Because the Supreme Lord is Ananta, unlimited. Information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Ananta, unlimited. Knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also unlimited, Ananta. But the living entity is limited. So, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, speaks about a living entity becomes perfect in knowledge through a process where he tries and understands as far as his limitations will allow him. Prabhupada says, you know. That is, even here, Narad Muni is saying that even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we always see, you know, Pashyantopina Pashyanti Pashyantam Parameshwaram. So, although we see Pashyanto Api, Na Pashyanti, we are not able to see what Pashyantam, one who sees Parameshwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, although we see, we cannot completely see. All the so-called seers of the Absolute Truth, which Narad Muni says that we are the top, you know, you can count us, all these people, you can count, hey, Prachina Barhi, you can count all these people, these are all the topmost, I'm telling you, you know, and we are seeing, and therefore we are all called the seers, but we cannot see. You see, the wordplay is very, very significant here, that although these people are so fully engaged, still, Narad Muni is very clear in presenting himself as someone that I do not know the Supreme Lord perfectly. And Prabhupada in the purport speaks about actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood not by advanced knowledge but by pure devotional service. Unless one takes to pure transcendental devotional service, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth. So when we speak about transcendental knowledge and when we speak about understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must know that this understanding is reflected through our devotional service. The jnana becomes vijnana, becomes realized knowledge when it is applied practically. And that practical application is what Srila Prabhupada is always insisting upon as devotional service. You know, And I always say this, that, you know, Prabhupada is probably the one Acharya, when you compare him to so many other writers, will always use the word devotional service. Prabhupada hardly ever uses the term devotion, you know. Because Prabhupada wants to establish the fact that there is no devotion without service. So it is always devotional service, you know. And that is actually how one practically shows that he has understood. It is not by some mere, you know, panditya, not by mere scholarship, you know, because the knowledge of the unlimited Lord, the moment when you say unlimited, it is unlimited. Infinity means, you know, you cannot measure it, right? In science, infinity means it cannot be measured. But as far as the living entity is concerned, everything is immeasured. Everything is limited. He is limited by time. He is limited by space. He is limited by so many different things. Whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not limited by anything. Therefore, the fact always remains that nobody can understand Krishna fully. You know. But tattvataha, in truth, you will understand. In truth, you will understand this is Krishna and he is unlimited and he cannot be fully understood. But that endeavor keeps going on constantly. And that constant endeavor desiring to increase and improve in terms of our devotion, that is what actually is the path of perfection for the sadhaka devotee. That is why we will find that whether it is Brahma, whether it is Narada, whether it is Lord Shiva, whether it is the four Kumaras, we will always find that none of these personalities are resting on their laurels saying that, yes, you know, we have gone to Vaikuntha, we are eternally 5 years old, now we have smelt the tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of the Lord. So now we are, you know, that's it. We are done with it. No. They are constantly engaged in hearing and speaking. Or Narada Muni, you know. Narada Muni is one such personality who is actually having, you know, the visa to enter any of the transcendental realms and all the 14 planetary systems. You know, but he is not resting on those laurels saying that I have entrance anywhere, but he is always using all those things for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead through service, you know. And even in this conversation, he is engaged in actually serving the Supreme Lord by giving this knowledge to this king who has spent tens and thousands of years, you know, in useless sense gratification. Even after his sons have gone on tapas, he is still not able to give up. So then Narada Muni has to come and sit and tell him a long story, you know. And even after the long story, he says, actually, you told a very nice story. I still don't understand what you mean, you know. So Prachina Barhi in context is very much, you know, very, very relevant to all of us. And then we see Narada Muni, you know, the ultimate guru of all gurus, how he is taking out the time and the effort to explain these things. To make Prachina Barhi give up his sense gratificatory tendencies. You know. So that is something that every bona fide spiritual master is trying to do with his disciple. You know, that is a humongous task that a spiritual master takes on himself, you know, so that the disciple can give up that tendency for material sense gratification. artificially one may give up sense gratification for some time, but such artificial attempts will actually end up in failure unless you give up the tendency. You know, that tendency can only be given up when we actually cultivate a taste for hearing, when we actually cultivate a taste for chanting the holy name of Krishna, cultivate a taste for hearing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the glories of Krishna. So this is what we are all engaged in. We are supposed to be engaged. And Prabhupada also in the purport very briefly hits out at Darwin, saying that how our Puranas and Itihasas are actually history. Even the words, as I always say, the words that Prabhupada uses are very, very pertinent. Prabhupada would never say story. Prabhupada would always refer to history, because the moment you say story, it becomes somebody's imagination. And whatever we are seeing in Srimad Bhagavatam is not somebody's imagination. The only imaginary story in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Puranjana story. It's an allegory. Puranjana, Puranjani and all those things. Everything else is actual history. Actual conversations between actual personalities who lived a long, long time ago. So Prabhupada puts that into context, saying that these kind of discussions on the highermost levels were going on, since time immemorial. It is not that, suddenly the two-legged being came into being, being evolved from, the single-cell organism, etc. Prabhupada has taken on all the modern scientists in every way that you can think of, But he just puts that also into context in this verse, because he speaks about these personalities right from Brahma, because Brahma is the first created living entity by the Supreme Lord. The first created living entity to whom the Supreme Lord gave the knowledge directly. Imagine if we were in Brahma's position, we would be just resting on our laurels and, claiming to everybody that only I know, none of you know, like that. But here, as we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand, Brahma very humbly admitting that, actually I don't know. Actually, I don't know you, my dear Lord. That is why Krishna does the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Because when Brahma is watching, he thinks he knows his Lord as the one, who is so big and so great, and Brahma is actually sitting on that top of that lotus, which is emanating from the navel of that Lord. And the only one experience Brahma had was when the Lord, extended his hand and shook hands with Brahma once. And for Brahma, that was his transcendental, bliss. And he is seeing that, can this be my Lord, playing with these cowherd boys, eating out of their hands, feeding them, carrying them on his shoulders. No, it cannot. So even Brahma is bewildered. Although he is the one who got all this knowledge first. So Brahma can be bewildered. And then you take Lord Shiva, the greatest of all tapasvis, Even Kamadeva could not agitate Shiva, he simply burned him down to ashes. Because he is so austere, there is no tapasvi equal to Shiva, Lord Shiva, in the entire manifest creation. There cannot be anybody. But what happened? Lord came as the most beautiful stri in creation. And because Lord Shiva did not see, he told him, no, please, once you show me. And then what happened? He is running and running and running after Mohini. And then Lord Shiva says, why did you do this to me? After all, I am like this. I am sitting in the crematorium and, simply I desire to see that form of yours. And this is what you do to me. So Lord Shiva also gets bewildered. So the greatest tapasvi, the greatest jnani, the first student, whoever you may be, you know, then the next batch of the four students, they also were bewildered. So, however elevated one may be, one sign of that elevation is that they always very readily agree that, yes, we have seen, we have heard, we are understanding, but we have not understood fully. You know, so this is also one sign of knowledge, actually. You know, a signal that is there that, oh, I don't know fully. You know, so this is how a devotee must always feel. This is what a devotee's consciousness should be, that I am trying very sincerely, but I still am very, very imperfect. But I am endeavoring based on instruction from Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. And I endeavor with the hope, I endeavor with the confidence that someday my practice will come to perfection because I am trying it with all the sincerity that I can muster, staying within my limitations. So, Narada Muni is telling Prachina Barhi that although we are all Vachaspatis, we are all Brahmavadinaha, we have all seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still we don't know Him fully. So, we must understand that this is the process of transcendental knowledge. This is the process of service through which we actually gain transcendental knowledge. You know. So, hearing or Shravanam is also one such service. You know. And Shravanam actually becomes effective Shravanam when we can do what we are hearing. You know. A very simple example of good Shravanam is, what is Shravanam? Shravanam means hearing, right? But how will the person from whom we are hearing, how will he know that we are hearing? A very simple example we can take. You know, we call our child, come here. So if he actually heard us, he will come where we call. You know? This is the fundamental principle of Shravanam. So, when we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual sign of us hearing is when we start practicing based on what we are hearing. You know? So, that type of Shravanam is what is required. You know, not our standard of Shravanam where we hear it through one ear and leave it through the other ear. And then everybody forgets about the whole thing. That is not the Shravanam that is spoken about by Narada Muni. That is not the Shravanam that is spoken about by the Acharya. Shravanam means actually taking that instruction to heart and implementing that instruction. So, cultivation of that process is what is actually meant here. You know, and Narada is saying that for that we find very little time because we are all conditioned and we are all being affected by the senses and because of their demands for gratification. So we have to take shelter of the association of devotees. We have to take shelter of the acharyas. We have to take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and the Satsanga of Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas mean not self-proclaimed Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who actually follow the rules and regulations of what a Vaishnava should follow. This is all established and given to us in a platter by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, through this wonderful society called ISKCON. where actually he has laid down the standards. So when we speak about association, when we speak about satsanga, we speak about sadhu sangha, we actually know that we are associating with sadhu. We actually know that this is the right type of cultivation that we must do. So this is, in a nutshell, what my limited understanding of these four verses. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for your wonderful class and for coming and sharing your realizations too. It's very inspiring, especially I love to hear all your Bhagavad Gita summary sessions. They were amazing. Really grateful for all your services. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very nice class. Anyone has any questions, comments, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranams. Thank you so much. Very, very wonderful class. You touched on all the points of the purports and also explained that how it is practically relevant to us. And I like this, that how we are always putting the demands of the mind and the senses as a priority, and the cultivation of spiritual knowledge goes in the back burner if we are not in the association of devotees who are constantly monitoring us. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for very practically enlightening. So you have been a devotee for a long time and underwent so many, must have come across so many circumstances in your preaching and in your sadhana. So if you can share that, I mean, all of us are facing ups and downs and obstacles in practicing. So if you can share what should be one's mood when we face this, and this seems to be a long journey, and sometimes we get lost or misdirected without even knowing, as you said, that we are not advancing on the path. So if you can shed some light on this, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, what I can say is that over a period of time, what I have felt is that there are many downs, more downs than ups, in fact. And whether in the way we practice or whether in our material situations, because one general interaction between two devotees when we meet is, you know, Hare Krishna, how are you? And the answer is, by Krishna's mercy, everything is going well. You know, I have understood from my personal experience that many times, by Krishna's mercy, everything falls apart. You know, then you have to start from scratch, and then by the time you get somewhere, it again falls apart. You know, this has personally happened to me in my life. For quite a long time, I was practicing Krishna consciousness in a part of the world where it is, you know, they can do very, very horrible things to you when they find out. And so, you know, suddenly things will just go awry, and you wouldn't know what to do, where to start, you know. things can go completely out of control. And when that actually happens, and when you come out of it, that is when you realize that, okay, this has happened to me. You know, my life has changed overnight. And I don't know actually what to do tomorrow, in my material life, I mean. But even through all that, you know, the Bhagavatam reading is going on, the chanting is going on, then you realize, okay, you know, actually what matters continues to go on somehow by Krishna's mercy. So the other things may fall in place, you know, we have that hope. And then again, sometimes that hope also may get dashed, you know. 2 times, 3 times, and you try rebuilding. And then, by Krishna's mercy, we will always have some very senior person, very senior devotee will come and tell, look, this is not going to happen for you, you know. So you might as well simply depend on Krishna. So for some devotees who are very, very fortunate, things will go in a regular flow. So every day we will have the same predictable life, the same predictable schedules. So we will all be able to do whatever we are doing. But we should always be prepared for upheavals. You know, suddenly things can go all right. And that is the time actually we can feel Krishna's and Guru's intervention in our lives and how actually that part of our life, the spiritual side of our life continues, you know, without getting overly disturbed. So this is something each and every devotee must prepare for. I learned it from my personal experience, what happened to me in my life. So then it makes very easy for me to talk to other people, you know. So whenever now I speak to people, when they tell me, you know, I have this problem, then I will tell him, no, see, you can actually have bigger problems, even though you're a practicing devotee. It is not that because I am a practicing Hare Krishna devotee, you know, everything will be taken care of in a way that I expect it to be taken care of. Our problem is that, you know, Krishna keeping me good, fine and well, I have definitions of good, fine and well, you know. But we must understand Krishna has a different definition of good, fine and well for us. So whatever is happening, if we have taken shelter of Guru and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then we should know that whatever is happening to us is actually for our ultimate benefit. That Krishna is the controller, he is taking care, he is directly intervening in my life, and whatever is materially going, you know, topsy-turvy, Krishna's arrangement only. You know, so that also can happen in life. And when it happens, and when it passes through, that is the time you realize, through all these things, Krishna was hand-holding me, and because of that, I have been able to overcome that situation. So we must always remember situations are temporary. They will pass. The constant that a devotee must have in his life is his Namasmaran and his Bhagavata Shravan and his Satsanga. You know, any of these things go a little bit here and there, then actually the problem starts. And that also may happen when we, you know, in the modern parlance, you know, people, it is not as if 50 years back, a man, you know, is born in a certain place, he lives in that village, he dies in that village. Today, everybody is a global citizen. So today you are here, tomorrow you are there, day after tomorrow you are in another place. So today you have a very comfortable satsanga setting, you know, all wonderful devotees who interact very well. And, you know, we all have the same vibe and, you know, the same frequency. Everything is going fine. Then, tuck, Maya will take you and put you elsewhere. And there you will find the entire vibration is different. Then you feel, you know, oh, this is not my vibe. And then what happens? The satsanga is lost. Then again, what happens? All the trials and tribulations will start. So, a devotee, a practicing devotee must prepare oneself for all these eventualities and must remember that satsanga, Bhagavata Sravana, Namasmarana must always go on, whatever the circumstance may be. That is my limited understanding of this. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I mean, the services that you have done in a place where, you know, you cannot do anything publicly, preaching or even putting tilak or anything else, but you have taken the risk and spread this knowledge and made many people take up Krishna consciousness. Our humble obeisances to that. And yeah, we wish to have your association again and again, Prabhuji. Whenever it's possible, time permits, please come on this call. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gurudev ki jai.
If there are any questions, we can answer that now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your association. Yes, thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhuji, and also for making the point that Srila Prabhupada hardly ever used devotion, that he used devotional service, and that it is, we are to do service, we are to be active in what we're doing and not just collecting knowledge and holding on to it and not using it. We have to apply it. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Please come again.
Thank you. We'll try.
So thank you, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. And as everyone requested, we will look for your association in future classes. So we all will pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpataru vyascha tripasindubhya evacha. Katitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Namo namaha.
Giri Prabhuji ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.